Welcome to our chapel service this morning. Today we begin our worship with the prayer for Saturday morning, which you will find on page 171 in the front part of the hymn book. And let us rise to join together in praying this in unison. Living God and Savior, my eyes look to you this morning hour, and in your light will I seek you, the true light, you who also are nearer to me in light and darkness, in life and death, than ever I am to myself. Living fountain of all blessing, I draw again from you what I need for body and soul. But first I thank you with all my powers in Jesus Christ through your Holy Spirit for your fatherly care and protection through the night that is past. Accept me now, O God, through the same high priest, Jesus Christ, my poor and unworthy heart as a morning sacrifice well-pleasing to you. And pour out your love therein through your Holy Spirit, that I may walk this day in your love. I cannot, as you know not one moment exist without you, O God. Therefore, unite my will with you, and help me that I go forward in daily repentance and sanctification, as you yourself require of me. Grant that I may renounce all evil, because it is displeasing to you, and that I rather give myself, together with all I possess, into your dominion and will. You will do all things well for me, and at last help me through the trials and sorrows of this world into your heavenly kingdom. To you, O God and Savior, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Hear now the words of our scripture reading and our text for this morning, taken from the book of Proverbs, the third chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I served as a parish pastor for many years. I taught a number of students in confirmation classes, and there were often times when I had students that maybe had learning disabilities or didn't do very well with memory work or didn't do very well on quizzes or tests and so on, maybe even didn't do real well in the oral examination we would do. And yet at the same time, those same students, oftentimes, could be ones that I would look at with admiration. Admiration for their faith, for the trust that they had in their Savior. Talk to pastors, and they will tell you that even though they themselves may have a greater knowledge of the Bible or of Christian doctrine or church history and may be able to expound on things and teach on things, that they'll tell you that in their congregations there are many lay people, many members of their church who surpass them when it comes to trust in the Lord and having faith in him. Now, don't get me wrong, knowledge of Scripture and church history and all of those things, the knowledge that we can gain is of great importance. We are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and to study his word and to study his doctrine and to mentally absorb this through our mental faculties and so on. The text before us, however, today deals with the most important facet or aspect of faith, and that is of trust. The Hebrew word that is used here in our text means to rely upon, to place your confidence upon something or in someone. This is an important facet for us to consider and to dwell upon today. And always, the devil likes to tempt me into thinking that as long as I possess head knowledge about Christ and about God's word, as long as I can can rattle off beautifully various passages and so on, as long as I can put together a nice, comprehensive, knowledgeable way of explaining things in Scripture, as long as I have a knowledge of Christian doctrine and biblical history, that's enough for me. Years ago, a pastor was telling me that he had served a church in Madison, Wisconsin, and in his neighborhood, there was a young man who was a brilliant lawyer in the community, and he would frequently have conversations and coffee with this guy, who had been apparently raised in the Christian faith and gone to Christian schools, but in his adult life had rejected all of it and decided to become an atheist and pushed it all aside. But he said in his discussions with him, he could still rattle off biblical passages, and he knew Christian doctrine better than the pastor claimed he did. But he just didn't believe any of it. You see, having faith about Christ is not the same as having faith in Christ. There will be many people in hell someday who had faith about Christ. They will have faith that he was the Son of God. They will have faith that he was born of the Virgin Mary. They will have had faith that he died on the cross. They may even have faith that he rose again. But all of that knowledge of him and faith that he existed is still different than putting your confidence in him for salvation, trusting in him, relying upon him, placing your hope of entering heaven on him. And this is what our text calls upon us to do. Even the devils can have faith about Christ. Our Lord calls upon us to have faith in Christ. You know, when it comes to matters of faith, today we live in pretty challenging and dangerous times. And one of the reasons is, we think about how our text says, lean not on your own understanding. One of the reasons is because the understanding and the knowledge of man has been exalted and has really answered a lot of problems in our world for us and has made our lives pretty easy and pretty luxurious. And maybe even caused us to have a longer life than we would have had we lived 150 years ago. There's a tendency in us to look at the knowledge and understanding of man and think of it as being placed high upon a pedestal. Just think of the advancements that have taken place in my lifetime. The advancements in technology and medicine and knowledge and understanding of various things. Think of how much more prestigious our nation has become and the power that it possesses and the wealth that we have in this world and so on. We're very tempted today to put our confidence in man because of all the great things that it appears man can accomplish and do. But today, God calls upon us to put our trust in him. And here's why. Donald Trump is going to die someday. Bill Gates is going to die someday. Dr. Jarvik, that invented the artificial heart, is going to die someday. The United States, just like the great Roman Empire, is going to crumble someday. Let us not put our trust in princes or in the great ability and accomplishments of man, because in the end, all of that greatness and achievement can never answer the problem of sin, death, and an eternity apart from God. This is why our Lord in the text directs us back to our Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. This trust, this confidence that relies upon him is something that God creates in us. That's comforting to know. It's comforting to know that when our hearts, through the Word of God, are drawn back to what our Savior did for us, when first of all we acknowledge our sinfulness and all of the things that would have kept us out of heaven and realize in reality before God how honestly truthful that is, our sinful condition. But when that Word of God and the Holy Spirit, their working faith in our hearts, causes us then to latch on to what Christ did, that he went to the cross for every one of your sins, made absolute perfect atonement for them. I don't care what they are, who you are, how often it's happened. That we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That he has redeemed you and bought you back to heaven's own throne. And when our hearts love that and grab onto that and say, I need that. I want to trust in that. I want to rely on that. That's why I look forward to going to heaven someday. It's wonderful to know that that very activity in us, that reliance and trust upon our Savior, came from God. It's not a decision I made. The Bible never speaks of it that way. It's something God creates in us and in our hearts. Listen to the way Dr. Walther describes this. I love this. He says, what is divine in you, he's talking about faith, what is divine in you naturally seeks out and clings to the divine, that is God. It desires to please the divine and desires to ultimately reside with the divine. It has divine origins and a divine destination. It simply must be with God. And then thinking about word and sacrament, it says, it looks at these lowly means of grace and loves them, knowing that here is where the divine is to be found in this life. And the ultimate reason that our Lord calls upon us in faith to put our trust, our whole confidence in Him, is because this is the only answer to the problem of sin, death, and everlasting destruction. It's interesting that the Hebrew word that's used here for trust is the same root word that is used for security. The only place that we have true security from those enemies is in our Lord. I'd like to close with a statement from Luther that I always love to think about when it comes to trust and how oftentimes I'm so lacking in that. Luther used to facetiously say, someday when we walk into the doors of heaven and see how fantastic it is and realize how God had given us such great promises in Christ and what His Word had told us and so on. He says, we're going to look back on how we lived our lives and how we were always struggling with doubt and everything. And he said, we're going to spit on ourselves for not having been bolder to trust in Christ. Our Lord says to you and me, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen.